So I want to thank everyone for being here. My name is Jerry Fetta. I'm the owner, founder, and CEO of a company called Wealth Dynamics. And what I do on Saturdays is I teach a course on finances, right? A lot of this is about something called the sacred account. This is an account that I use, my clients use, the top 1% have used for well over a century now to secure and build their wealth. And it's something that I want to go over today from a different standpoint. You know, we've talked a lot about how it can be used to build wealth, investing. And so today I want to talk about how to not lose money, right? And this is such a critical thing. There's two different ways I'm going to go over this today. And so if you're watching, you know, I want to go over a couple of ground rules first, things we cover every week. The first thing is I want you to have a purpose for being here, right? Have a purpose for being here. Like, you know, what's your reason? What are you trying to get from this? What are you trying to apply in your life? Second thing is realize that money can be understood. This is not for the sophisticated. It's not for the fat cats on Wall Street only. This is something that you can and should understand. And it's something that, you know, it's something that if you really are like focusing on it, it comes down to two things. Okay. It comes down to math and vocabulary, right? So if I can look up the words that are being used and I can understand the math being used behind those words, I'm able to actually understand these concepts on a very basic, simple level. A lot of them aren't actually that difficult. Okay. Some of you guys are clients. You can attest. You see a concept and you're like, man, that sounds intense. That sounds hard. Then you learn about it and you're like, oh, that wasn't really that bad. That's actually pretty simple. Right. And so that's how most of finances are. So this can be learned. Understand that. The second thing on this point of learning is realizing you don't know it all already. Right. We live in a culture where information is extremely accessible. Right. Success is not as widespread as the information that's out there. And so people think we have knowledge, but if we're not winning and not succeeding, there's something missing. Apparently, we don't have knowledge. Right. And so we can look at information and think, I just learned something, but we have to look at, well, if I'm not applying it, if I'm not succeeding with it, if I'm not winning with it, then I don't think I learned anything. Okay. I think that I just read some information and I understood what it told me, but I didn't learn how to do the thing it talked about. I can't apply it. So that's a big point to this is you're never done learning. There's always more to learn. There's always more growth that can happen. And then finally is if you're watching this, I want to help you guys connect with a member of my team. So there's two people here that are in the chat. I'm going to introduce them in a second. And these are individuals that work for me. We've got Rod Torres. We've got Nano Aquino, right? And these two are going to be reaching out to you in the chat to answer questions, to connect with you for a potential call. And if you're not a client, to help you become one. If you are a client, to be able to answer your questions and provide service to you. So really quickly, I do want to do a quick intro with both Rod and with Nano. And let them just give a quick intro on themselves and what they'd like to get out of their connection with you on this call today. So let's start things out with Nano Aquino.
Hey, Jerry, what's going on, man?
Hey, Nano, I'm good. How are you?
Doing great, man. Thanks for asking. Thanks for the opportunity as well. Mm-hmm. What I'll do is to go ahead and give a little background myself here very shortly, and then my goals here for the call and for all those who are attending. Again, name is Nano Aquino, being, first of all, was a client to begin with, back in November 2017. And then I went to work with Jerry full time the following year, summer 2018. I've been working with the company since then full time. My goal for the call is that one, that you see enough value, with this information that is being shared, that one, if you're not a client, you do become one, and that you also get the book so we can actually maintain an ongoing conversation in order for me to be helping you throughout the process. The goal here that we have from the company is to help you actually attain a greater level of financial freedom that you actually are able to experience this in this life, right? As long as you're ethical, able, and willing, we're looking forward to helping you. And then the goal is to actually develop a relationship with you for the next 10, 15, 20, 25 years. So that is my goal for this call. Maybe this is the thing for you. Fantastic. If it is not the thing for you, it's all good either. But if it is a thing for you, if you're willing, then I'll like, let's go ahead and engage in a conversation. You're probably not going to get everything that you need out of just one single webinar. Let's go ahead and connect. No harm, no foul, right? Maybe I'm able to help you. If I am, I show it to you. If I cannot help, not going to waste your time. So that is my goal for you attending the webinar and for us to connect for a potential call as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nano. Next, I want to bring on Rod Torres. So let's connect Rod up here.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Rod, how are you today?
Good, thanks. And thanks for having me on here. And everybody who's on this webinar, thanks for showing up. So basically, I was working for a different financial institution before starting with Jerry here. And my personal goal was to find something that would truly build people wealth, right? Take responsibility for the entire process. not just sell one service so that I could get paid, but what's going to actually take a person from wherever they're at, whether they have money, don't have money, but no matter their situation, what is a program that will take them from where they're at financially and build them to a point where they have financial freedom? So I've tried many things. I've read many books. As soon as I read Jerry's book, it was pretty much game over. This has everything you need to build wealth. And I think anyone who's read the book would agree with me on that, that this covers every step you need to build wealth. And as soon as I started applying that to my own finances, everything changed. And I was like, okay, 4 months into that, Jerry, where do I sign? Sign me up right now. And it's been amazing because the best joy is helping clients and watching them progress through the blueprint steps. And so like Neno said, him and I will help you with anything you need after this, setting up your own sacred account or your next step on the blueprint. And we're going to be sharing our calendar link, so you can just click on that and set up an appointment with us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rod. So those two guys are going to be reaching out to you in the chat. So if you're on Zoom here, you'll probably get a message from them. Be sure to check your chat throughout. If they need me to nudge you and let you know that they sent a message, I might let you know as well. The other thing that I want to do is I want to go over one of my big goals every time we do these is to help you become a client, right? And so this is my book, Blueprints of Financial Freedom. And so this is something that we are giving away, right? This is not even just a Black Friday deal. This is something we do. The book is free. You cover your shipping, you know, and basically we'll send this out to you. And so if you've not read this, I want you to go to jerryfeta.com/B2F promo. And this link will bring you to the page where you can get the book, right? So the book is going to be free. You cover the shipping. It also comes with a free client training supervisor. When I say free, we pay someone on staff to make sure you finish the book, that you understand it. Just because most people don't finish books when they buy them, right? This one's very important for you to finish because it does give you a clearly outlined step on how do I start building wealth. Okay. The other thing you get with this is you get a free coaching call with Rod or with Nano. And that way you can start to apply what you've read. Again, most people don't finish books. Those that do finish them, a large percentage of them don't apply what they've learned. And so we're taking responsibility for making sure that both of those things are happening. So again, if you go to jerryfeta.com/B2F promo, and I will be just pulling this up throughout today to make sure that we've covered that. And if you have the desire to become a client, that we give the opportunity to do that. Okay. Now, the other thing I want to go over is if you have questions, drop them in the chat. This is definitely a two-way thing. We want to answer questions. We want to make sure that we are covering the things that come up in your universe as you're learning. One of the number one mistakes that we see with education is that most people, you know, they don't get the ability to get the questions answered. People feel, you know, for me when I was in school, I felt like if I had a question, I was the dumb one. Everyone else knew it already, and so I shouldn't ask. And so I started learning as I grew older that that usually wasn't the case. If I had a question, probably everybody did. And if I asked, it actually helped everyone else too, not only myself, but everyone else that had the question and had the same problem. They were worried about, you know, looking dumb, looking like they didn't know, standing out. So ask questions. There's no such thing as a dumb question. I would rather have you feel dumb for 15 seconds while you ask a question rather than being dumb for the rest of your life because you never asked, right? So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into my topic here, which is saving and not losing money, right? Now, this is so important. And I want to start with a concept that we have called the triangle of wealth. And it basically looks like this. I'm going to draw this out. The idea here is that if I'm building wealth, there is a triangle and there are 3 points on the triangle, right? So I have earn, I have save, and I have invest. Okay, now this is gonna sound really simple. This is one of those, I talked about the two different barriers on learning, thinking I can't understand it or thinking I know it already. This one tends to fall into the second category. Well, of course we have to earn income. Of course we've got to save money. Of course we've got to invest. Then why aren't more people doing it? Right? If we know it, like why isn't it happening? So apparently there's something we still need to go over. If I'm not maximally earning, maximally saving, and maximally investing, then there's something wrong with what I know or with what I think I know, or it could be something I don't know. Right? So here's how it starts. We have to earn income. Yeah, the reason I say earn is because it's an exchange. If I want to earn income, there's going to be someone else involved, right? I have to make an exchange of value with them. They exchange income to me, and now I have income. And the more that I do that, the more income that I get. And also the more valuable the thing I'm doing, the more income that I get. So when I was a pizza guy, I was exchanging time. I would exchange 30, 40 hours a week of time, right? The more hours that I worked, the more income I would get, right? Now, let's face the facts. Delivering pizza is not a super valuable thing. So there's a cap on how much income I'm going to get as a aspect of how much value I'm delivering. Like there's a cap on this. Okay. I'm not solving a major problem for someone in that moment. I'm delivering pizza to them. It's a minor problem. That's a first world problem, right? I'm not helping them build wealth. I'm not helping them reduce their taxes. I'm not fixing a medical issue for them. I'm not, you know, solving their business. I'm bringing a piece of baked bread with cheese and meat on it to their house at 10 p.m., right? So there's a limit on how much I'm going to earn on that cycle, unless I just work more hours. And this is the key to earning, right? So how do we not lose money on the earning piece? This might sound like a weird question. The most expensive thing that we lose is not money that we lose in investments, money that we lose, you know, with our savings. It's unearned income, like potential income. Like I could have earned more and didn't. If you're in sales, that's all the sales you missed, could have closed and didn't. That's your most expensive thing right there. Right? If I'm in a skill-based industry and I have a lack of knowledge cap on my ability to earn, that is the most expensive thing in my life, is me lacking that knowledge. Right? So if I want to not lose money there, then I have to look at, well, where am I missing opportunities? Where am I letting income opportunities slide by? Right? Whether that's out of laziness and I don't want to, and so I'm not putting in the work to make it happen, or whether that's out of, you know, knowledge, I don't have the knowledge. And so because of that, I don't know how to, or whether that's out of ability, like I'm not able to for some reason. Okay. And if I can solve that, I can grow my income, and that helps me obviously save more, which is our next point, but it helps me not lose. Okay. Like I can lose money, let's say in an investment, and it doesn't matter how much I lose, that number will never equate to the loss that I have on income potential, money I could have earned and didn't. Right? Because what is the potential? Like, go look at the sky's the limit. Go look at guys like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk or Grant Cardone or Donald Trump or whoever, Jay-Z, LeBron, you pick them. They earn a lot of income. And if they can do it, anyone can do it. There's not something special and different about them. Right? So that's the potential. And then there's where I'm at. And then there's a gap between where I'm at and the potential. And that gap comes down to lost income, potential income I could have earned and didn't. Right? So this is where it starts. Now, as I earn, obviously I save. That's the next point of this triangle. Okay. Now here's the problem. We'll go back to this first point of income potential. If I earn less, I'm also going to save less, aren't I? I can't save money that I didn't first earn. So I've got to save the money. And if I earn more money, I can save more money, right? So there's going to be two different things to look at here. There's going to be percentage of what I earn being saved. And then there's also going to just be like the dollar amount that I earn. So let's say that I'm saving, you know, 20% of my income, right? Fairly high percentage compared to most people. Now, if I increase my income, that 20% is going to be 20% of a bigger number. Therefore, my savings go up, right? So that's going to be a function of, do I earn enough money to actually save? A lot of times we look at, you know, I see people that are not saving enough, or they voice that they can't save enough. Well, that's an income problem. If I earn more, I can save more, right? Now, the other function is, well, what if I saved the higher percentage? This is now, what if I did 30%, right? 30, or what if I did what the top 1% do, which is 40%, right? What if I saved 40%? Obviously, that's another way for me to save more money, right? So me not earning more costs me the ability to save. Me not having the right knowledge and having the right behaviors financially cost me the ability to have that higher percentage, right? So saving 40% of my income, like that's not easy to do. So I need to have, there's knowledge missing. There's something I've got to do in order to get there. I've got to bridge that gap. And if I don't learn that, I'm not going to be able to do it. And so that again, costs me money. That's a loss there. I could have saved 40, instead I saved 20, right? So this is important to look at. Now on the save side, the reason we would save long-term is going to be to invest. Okay, I had a conversation on a podcast that I was interviewed on this week, and the guy said, "What do you think of savers?" And he said, "You know, we hear these things like savers are losers, and you know, we shouldn't save money. And I told him, I said, that statement in and of itself, I think is taken out of context. And when it's used like that, I think it's bullshit. Savers aren't losers. I've never once saved money and felt bad for having money. Like, saving money has never hurt me. It's never been something that I was like, man, I should not have saved that money. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So really what's trying to be communicated is, what are you saving for and where are you saving, right? So what is the purpose of the saving? And then what is the location of the saving? If I don't have a purpose for saving, then I just put it, usually, I don't care. I put it in a bank. I might put it in a safe. I might put it in the backyard. These two things are heavily linked, right? So when I don't have a purpose, I care less about where the location is because I'm not trying to accomplish anything, right? Like, think about it this way. The location of you right now is on this webinar. The reason why you're on this webinar is you have a purpose. There's a reason why you're here. So you came to this webinar. Okay. Same thing with saving. If I have a purpose, I'm trying to save up for an investment. Now the location matters. Why? Because I want to make sure that the money's there when I need it and that it's optimally growing and it's safeguarded and I can actually make the investment. I can fulfill the purpose of saving. Okay. So that's my purpose and that's my location. Right now I do this so that I can invest. Right. And so when I invest, this is where we think about losing money. This is where most people think of, you know, losing money, like investing, right? It does happen here. It's happened to me. It's happened to others, right? So investing, you can lose money for sure. If you're in stocks, you're getting pummeled this year. You've lost money, right? So investing, we can obviously lose money just as a function of risk, right? And this is going to be the main area we lose here. Okay. The other one is going to be fees, right? And then the other one here can be, again, income potential. Income or growth, right? Potential. If I put my money into something that doesn't produce as much as it could, similar to the earning, that's lost income. That was potential that I could have had and I don't, right? The growth, same thing. If I put money into something that could have grown more and didn't, right? Similar. And then the fees is the other part. Depending on where I invest, there may or may not be fees that can be lost money as well. Right. So this is on the triangle of wealth. Like, how do we, you know, obviously save more? And then how do we obviously not lose that? And saving is, again, like a function of me actually setting aside the money, which means that I don't put it towards other things. Right. It's very, very timely that we just had Black Friday. Right. We don't put it towards other things. We're not putting it towards consumerism. We're putting it towards building wealth. Okay. That's a difference in mindset. Someone who thinks as a consumer, that's a mindset. Someone who thinks as a producer and building wealth, that's also a mindset, right? And that mindset is based on the person and what they know and what they believe and what's important to them. And it's not right or wrong. Like, you know, you'll see people that are out Black Friday shopping. They're super happy. They don't care that they're going to work till they die. That's fine with them. You'll see people like me and maybe like you where you're like, yeah, that's not what I want to do, right? Doesn't mean they're wrong and we're right. It just means we're different. And if we're different, we need to actually behave different, okay? And so that's the saving part, right? Now, here's what I want to go into is when we talk about, you know, earning and saving and investing, let me go ahead and just erase this here. We talk about earning and saving and investing. And basically we're looking at a couple of things. The first one is, where do we put the money at? Okay. So we earned it. That's like, for me, we don't even spend too much time on earning, like go be in communication with people, have knowledge that makes you valuable and exchange it with them and do that a lot. And if you do that, you're going to earn more income. Okay. The saving is the one that I look at. Most people put money in one of three places. Okay. The bank, Wall Street, or they give it to the IRS, right? So think about this, the bank, we get money from our paycheck. It gets deposited into a checking account. Where is that checking account? It's at the bank, right? So they get our money first. And then we don't have a purpose. We leave it there. We leave it there, or we shift it over to the savings account from the checking account so we can get 0.15% instead of 0.10%, or we put it in the 401k plan, right? We save money in the 401k plan or the retirement account because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're marketed to do. And so that's what we do. We don't understand it fully. We just kind of repeat the things that we're told. Okay. Or we give it to the IRS. If you get a tax refund, you're saving money via the IRS. Like, that is your savings plan. You give them too much money all year. They keep it. They pay you zero interest. and then give it back to you in April and expect you to celebrate that they took too much. But the sad reality is the average American gets about $400 a month from this, an equivalent. So that means they're going to get like a $4,000 or $5,000 refund usually. And that is probably the only savings they have. If they didn't do that, they would have nothing. If they didn't do the Wall Street plan, they would have nothing. If there wasn't a bank, they would have nothing. Okay. Now, does that mean that these are good ideas? Well, it doesn't mean they're good or bad. It's amoral. Right. So the bank and the Wall Street and the IRS, they can't be good or bad. It's just a place. What it comes down to is the user, the person putting their money in it. Do they have knowledge? Does this fulfill their goals? Right. And is it doing what they need it to do? Okay. Now, when I put money in a bank, you know, I'm not losing money from a standpoint of volatility. I am losing money from the standpoint of opportunity. Okay. I'm not getting that money to grow while it's in the bank. Okay. There's not a very high rate of return on that. Okay. And then if I pull it out, it stops growing. So for me, that does not accomplish what I needed to accomplish. Okay. When I put it in Wall Street, I could lose money from volatility and I still have the opportunity cost, right? So if I have a bad year and I lose money because of that bad year, that Wall Street plan costed me money because I lost. Or let's say that it just underperformed. And so I didn't get the income potential. And it's similar to the bank where it's like, I could have made more had it been elsewhere. Okay. And then the IRS is actually worse than the bank. Okay. The bank at least pays you something. Okay. The IRS doesn't even pay you 0.01% on the money that they kept all year. Okay. At least with the bank, I can pull it out when I need it. I can be like, okay, good. I'm going to take my deposit out now and use it. I can't do that. I can't get a tax refund in the middle of the year with the IRS. I've got to wait till I file my taxes in April. Otherwise, they're going to keep it all. Right? So these are where we traditionally would save. And so where I save instead is something called the sacred account. I'm just going to abbreviate it, the SA, sacred account. Okay. What this is it's high early cash value. So high early cash value, dividend paying, full life insurance. Right? Some of you watching this, you might have just heard life insurance and you're maybe new to my stuff and you're like, but no, you're not supposed to put it in life insurance. Again, marketing, we've got to look at what's marketing and what's education. Okay. So this is a different type of life insurance. Literally less than 1% of all policies are designed correctly where it would work for this model. So that means more than 99% of life insurance sold does not accomplish what we're trying to accomplish with this. And here's what we're trying to accomplish with this. So when we save with this process, with the sacred account, the first thing we're getting is we're getting guaranteed growth. Okay, we're getting a guarantee against loss. Okay, we're getting protection from taxes. So this is not taxable. We're getting protection from creditors. Okay, we're getting protection from lawsuits. And we're getting protection of privacy. Okay, what I mean by that is this is a private contract between me and the insurance company. When I borrow against my life insurance, they're not reporting that to anybody. That's between me and them. Right? It's a unilateral contract. So I'm the only one that can change the contract. It's between me and them. They have rights they have towards me and I get to benefit from those. And then the final one is we're protected from opportunity costs. Okay. This is the only way for me to get all of these things, but right? I guaranteed growth, right? So this is made an average of 3 to 5% in dividends and an interest. And it's done this for more than 170 years, depending on the company you look at, consistently. Same thing with the loss. They've not lost money for, in some cases, 170 plus years in a row. Okay. I can't say that with a bank because a bank hasn't been around for 170 years in most cases. Banks still lose money. right? And they're not guaranteed to give me any growth. Like the savings account's not guaranteed to grow. They can change that from year to year, right? It's very low. It's a very low amount of money. And there's even with the bank, there's the bail-in where they could just keep my money. Like realize when you give money to a bank, that's an unsecured loan you're giving them. They're keeping your money. They're paying you zero interest and they don't even have to give it back to you. Okay. They can limit the withdrawals. They can say, hey, we don't have the funds. Sorry. You can't take the money out right now. Okay. Avoiding taxes. The Internal Revenue Code has a special area for life insurance called Section 7702. Okay. That talks about the tax status of life insurance. I can also take loans against my cash value and loans are tax free. Right. If I borrow against an asset, I don't pay taxes because a loan's not taxable. Whether it's life insurance or whether it's real estate, that's the case. Okay. Creditor protection. It's got special legislation in place for that, for lawsuits, privacy. It's a unilateral contract. And then opportunity cost. What about this? So it's growing at 3 to 5%. We just said that I can take loans. When I take loans, it's still going to make 3 to 5% like it never left. Right. So if I borrow, let's say $100,000 out of my cash value, that $100,000 is still growing at 3 to 5% like it never left. Therefore, I never have opportunity costs. Opportunity cost means I take money from one thing and put it into the other thing. And because it's in that new thing, it's committed and I can't use it for something else. So when I put money in a bank account, it's either in the bank account or it's not. If it's in the bank account, we know what's happening. It's making 0.10%. If it's not in the bank account, it's not making 0.10%. It's in wherever I put it. I can't do both, right? Same thing with Wall Street. I give money to them. It's there. It's not in two locations. It's there. It's either there or it's not. Okay. With life insurance, it's there growing at 3 to 5%. And also I can borrow against it and I can do investments. I can pay off debt. I can build reserves. Okay, I can self-finance large purchases, all while the money is still growing there. Okay, this is really important because this is how the top 1% historically have saved. When you look at the largest owners and purchasers of this exact kind of whole life insurance, it's the largest banks in the United States of America. They've got collectively over $200 billion in life insurance cash value. So why is it that if they're going to put it there anyways, why don't we just bypass them and do it ourselves? Right? Like think about like the largest institutions in the world, the largest banks in the country and in the US, our largest banks are some of the world's largest banks. They're doing this on a very high level with a lot of money with, you know, tens and hundreds of billions of dollars. So based on that, apparently it must be a good idea because otherwise why would they be doing it? If it was a bad idea, like one thing we know about banks is they don't do things that don't make money. Like they're willing to even get in trouble in order to make money. They're willing to pay fines and penalties in order to make money, right? So we know that they're going to do what makes the most financial sense for them, even if it doesn't make sense for us sometimes, okay? And so that means that we've got to look at that and realize, okay, that's a group, right? That's very good on finances and making money and placing it in the right places. Why are they putting this much money there? And why am I giving it to them to let them do it? Okay. And I say the same thing with lending. I do a lot of mortgage lending, seller finance, private lending. That's what banks do also. Okay. They're not putting money in their mutual funds. They're not like, you know, investing in their 401k plans. An actual bank, they buy, you know, loans, they sell loans, they issue loans, they earn interest on their money and they do that passively. So I want to look at all of this and say, okay, look, this is what's working. These are the successful and I want to copy them. Real quick, I want to open this up for a couple of questions. So Rod makes a good point, guys. We are doing a Black Friday sale that's extended through the weekend. So 20% off any purchase with us off of our fees, whether that's a setup fee, whether that's a tax planning fee, a sacred account fee, it doesn't matter. We're doing 20% off. And so if you are interested in becoming a client, reach out to Rod, reach out to Nano. If you are a client and you're looking at maybe getting another service with us, this is a great time to do it because you can get that 20% discount. Good. Let me see if we have any other questions here. All right. I'm going to just nudge a couple of people for some questions. So we have a question from Paul. Would it be accurate to say that the gains made on life insurance is always non-taxable, or just due to the sacred account and due to the way it's set up? So that's a great question. So Paul is saying, is this just with the sacred account? So it's going to be with life insurance in general. Okay. The sacred account is unique in the fact that it's the only kind of life insurance that gives you 70 to 90% of your contributions and your cash value immediately and allows you to borrow against those right away. So generally speaking with life insurance, you know, the death benefit's always going to be tax-free. The money you put in your cash value, that will be tax-free up until the point where you reach what's called your basis. Okay. Your basis means that you broke even. You have more money in cash than you have in contributions. At the point you have more money in cash value than you actually put in contributions, you then have the ability to take loans against the policy, which you can take loans the entire time. But the way you avoid the taxes on that gain is you borrow, right? Now, life insurance is unique in the sense that you can borrow against your policy without having to run credit, without having to go through underwriting. The value of your policy can't go down. So you cannot have like a margin call where your policy loan is for this amount, but then the cash value dropped and now you're upside down and you've got to pay that off. That could happen with gold. That can happen with real estate. That can happen with securities. Like, you know, if you do a securities back line of credit with a stock, that can't happen with life insurance. Okay. So that's the first thing to look at there. Let's see here. So we have a couple of messages sent us. So Greg Choi, if you could check your message, I believe that Rod reached out to you. If you want to check your chat, and connect up with Rod. Same thing with Jason Evans. Jason, it looks like Rod sent you a message in the chat if you want to connect up with him. Johannes as well. Good to see everyone on here, by the way. It looks like Rod sent a message to Johannes. Good to see you on here, Jordan. Greg Choi as well. It looks like Nano connected with Greg. So Greg, if you want to check your chat and just connect up with Nano, he's probably looking to answer your questions and see if you want to set up a call. And then same thing with Andrew. So those are all of the people I'd like to have check their chat. Michael Stock, Jamie. Awesome. So good, good reach outs and attendance happening there. So again, connect up with Rod, connect up with Nano. And once again, guys, like we are covering a lot today in a very small amount of time. So I want to make sure that if you don't have a copy of the book yet, you do have the ability to grab that. So again, if you go to jerryfetta.com, jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. You can get a free copy of my book there, right? And again, that's free ship or free book. You pay the shipping, which is like $8 or $9 or $10, whatever it is. I don't even know. So you cover your shipping. We also give you not only the book, but we give you a course supervisor with it to make sure you finish the book. And also you get a free coaching call with it. And obviously if you decide to act on any of our other services this weekend, you do get 20% off for Black Friday. So be sure to reach out to Rod and Nano in the chat regarding that. Now, the next thing I want to talk about here is how this sacred account helps you prevent from losing money from a forced savings plan standpoint. So let's say that I sign up and I do a sacred account and I commit to $1,000 a month. Okay, that's my monthly contribution that I'm putting into it. This is two things. This is forced and it's also automated. Okay. Forced means that it's going to happen like every month, regardless, right? Whether I want it to or not, I've signed an agreement saying this is going to draft out of my checking account. Okay. Or my savings account, wherever account, it's going to go into my sacred account now. So it's forced. And it's automated in the sense that it happens without me doing anything. Like it's automatic. On the 15th, for example, if that's my day, it's going to come out on the 15th. Okay. If my draft date is the 10th, it's going to come out on the 10th. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to do anything. There's no way for me to interfere. Okay. So how do you avoid losing money from a standpoint of not having saved enough? You commit to a forced automated savings plan. Okay. Now this does a couple of things. The first thing this does is obviously it does increase your savings. Right. When you automate it so that it happens no matter what, and you make it forced so that it happens no matter what, you're going to save more money than if you don't have that. I've experienced that. I'm living proof of it. I save more money on a forced savings plan that's automated than when I save on my own determinism, because I might decide not to, or I might forget, or I might, you know, mess up something up, or I might spend the money elsewhere first. Okay. And the way that we know this is true, how are taxes taken out of your paycheck for the IRS? It's forced and it's automated. You don't pay your taxes. They just come out of your check. Every time you get paid, that money comes out. It goes to the IRS. It's automatic and it happens whether you want it to or not. So we look at that, and I don't love taxes, but I can look at the function and say, that's a successful function. That works. It does what it's intended to do. Why don't I take a system that works and apply it to something I do want to do, which is save more money? Okay. So that $1,000 a month is forced and automated. Okay. The second thing, and you may have experienced this if you have an account, having this forced savings plan actually does increase your income. It's called income necessity. Because I have this monthly amount that's going to come out, I'm hustling harder to make sure that I've got the income for it. Versus if I didn't have that, you know, I don't have the same urgency. Like, it's almost like a dangerous thing. Like, if I don't make this payment, I'm in trouble. Most people have this with a car payment or with a mortgage or with debt or with an expense that they signed up for. This is your savings. Right. Again, like if this was a car payment, like not a great function of like what I'm doing, it's going to a liability, it's going to an expense, but you can't refute the fact that when there's that bill and if it's more than I think I can cover, I'm going to go look for ways to make more income. Okay. Again, successful mechanism, just going towards the wrong solution, similar to the tax being forced and automated. Okay. So the car payment, it would make me earn more income. Having a giant mortgage payment, that would make me go earn more income. Having a lot of debt, that would make me go earn more income. So why don't I do that with this too? Except for instead of paying it towards a liability or an expense, it's going to go towards my saving and it's going to make me earn more income. So by not being on a forced and automated savings plan, I'm actually costing myself money. Okay, I'm costing myself money from the standpoint of I'm not saving everything I could be, and I'm costing myself money from the standpoint of I don't actually have the income necessity I would have otherwise. Okay, so that's something to be clear about and to look at. Now, the final thing I want to talk about here on the triangle of wealth piece is the investing. I've brought this up before. So let's say that I invest in, you know, this thing over here. This is thing A. Okay, so I take my money and I invest in thing A. And then all of a sudden, thing A loses money. It disappears. Okay, this just happened in the crypto market. There's a giant crypto exchange that basically went bankrupt and people lost billions of dollars, right? People like Tom Brady and Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank and these giant names, they were investing in this stuff and they lost billions of dollars. Okay, so here's the problem is when I do that, if I put cash directly into an investment, it's just gone. Like I don't have it anymore. It's not there anymore. And it's not coming back because it's gone, right? Now, if I make money, then people use the word back. You don't make money back. You just make money from where you are. You know, that's not the same money as what I lost. It's new money. It's different money, right? Versus if I have my sacred account and I take the money from my sacred account, I take a loan against it to invest and I put that money into thing A, my sacred account, I've still got 100% of my principal and it's growing at 3 to 5% like it never left. Okay, I've experienced this. I like losing money with my sacred account involved better than I like losing money without it. And the reason why is, let's say I take the money from my sacred account, I put it into thing A, invest, thing A disappears, it goes away, it loses money. I'm not out what I put in. I just need to repay my loan. And I still have 100% of what I put in and it's still growing like it never left. And so that's something that gives me downside protection, right? So as long as I repay my loan, I've got 100% of what I started with and it grew the whole time. And it's like, I'm not actually out that money versus I invest and it's just gone. There's nothing I can repay. I just have to go save and build it back up to where it was. I'm not getting growth on my money like it never left, even though I lost. Okay. And the same could be said on the upside. Let's say that I invest in thing A and thing A does not lose money. Okay. Thing A gains money and I make money from it. Okay, well, if I invested with cash, I only get what I put into thing A. If I invest with the sacred account, I get what I put into thing A, and also I still get the 3 to 5% interest like it never left. Right, so how do I prevent from losing money? Well, part of that would be the investment itself. Invest in things that can't or don't lose, or if they do lose, you've got intrinsic value and assets behind them so you can recover. And borrow against your sacred account first. So that if the investment loses, your sacred account didn't, and you've still got that cash there and you still got all that growth and the future earnings of it, right? So this is a big deal. This is something that people don't look at. They don't focus on. Now, I want to give you an illustration on investing, right? So let's say that we've got two investments. We've got investment A and we've got investment B, okay? And we've got a 5-year time horizon. We've got year 1, we've got year 2, we've got year three, we've got year four, and we've got year five, right? Now, let's say that investment A grows like this. It does 50% in year one, loses 50% in year two, does 50% in year three, loses 50% in year four, and it does 50% in year five over a five-year period, okay? And I want to look at what is my annual return based on this, right? So if I made 50, lost 50, this cancels out. If I made 50, lost 50, this cancels out. I've got positive 50 left, right? 50 divided by 5 years is what? 10. So you could look at this and be like, okay, my account's up 50% in year five. I must have made 10%, right? Now over here, we have account B. Account B does 10%. It does 10%. It does 10%. It does 10%. And it does 10%. So we add all these up, right? 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10, you know, is 50. We take all of this 50 divided by 5, and it's also 10%. Okay. Now I used to look at this and I'd be like, okay, these guys made the same money, right? But here's the truth is they didn't. I'm going to pull up my calculator to illustrate this point. So let's say that in year one, let's say that I did this with $100,000. I'm going to go ahead and just share my calculator for you. Okay, so I did this with $100,000. I put $100,000 in the investment, and in year one, it made 50%. So I'm going to multiply this by 1.5. Okay, I'm celebrating. I'm like, wow, I just put 100 grand in. It turned into 150,000, right? Well, in year two, it lost 50%. So we divide it by what? Two. It got lopped in half. Okay, I'm down to 75. I'm like, okay, it's less than I put in. I can make it back. Year three, I make 50% again. So I multiply by 1.5. Okay. I'm back up. I'm celebrating. I'm excited. This is really good. Okay. That was year three. Year four, I lose 50% again. So I divide the account value by two. I'm down to 56 grand. Okay. Year five, I make another 50. So we're going to multiply this by 1.5 again. And I've got $84,375. Okay. I started with 100. And I made 50, lost 50, made 50, lost 50, and then made 50. And if I divide that 50 that I made, the final 50 by 5 years, it's like, yeah, it looks like I made 10%. But we're seeing that I actually have 84K. Right? So I actually started with less, even though it might look like my return's there. Why is that? Because when I lose money, it takes me twice to bring it back versus what I lost. I can't just make 50% and be back to normal. 50% is half. Okay, I've got to do it again in order to get back to break even. Okay, so this 84K is not a profit. I didn't make money on that, right? Now, same thing. Let's look at the 10%. Okay, so I put money into an investment. It's that same 100,000. And in year one, I make 10%. And then in year two, I make 10%. And then in year three, I make 10%. And then in year four, I make 10%. And then year five, I make 10%. Okay, so I'm up to $161,051. Okay, 10% return, actual 10% return, because why? I didn't lose money. Right? So I have 161,000. I've got basically double what this guy has. See, all returns are not created equal. And so this is the importance with investing of not losing money, right? So if I can invest in this way where I don't have the losses, I don't have the ups and downs, then I can get stable returns like this. Okay. Now, if I couple this also with putting money in the sacred account and having that 100K growing at 3 to 5% the whole time I'm using it, like I'm going to have even more. Okay. So the point I'm trying to drive home on this is there's so many ways to lose money. Most of them are things we don't conventionally think about. If I didn't earn as much income as I could, that was a loss. Okay. If I didn't earn enough so that I could save more, that was a loss. If I didn't save a higher percentage, that was a loss. If I put the money in a savings vehicle that didn't give me the growth that I needed, that was a loss. Okay. If it locks me up so I don't have liquidity and there's opportunity costs there and I can't use it for other things, that was also a loss. If I can't grow the money in two locations at one time versus a place where I could, if I'm not doing that, that's a loss. If I lose an investment, that's a loss. If I put it into an investment and didn't borrow against it, so I make more money on the back end, that's also a loss. Like, there's so many ways to lose money that we're not even aware of. Right? Like, when I was a kid, I thought you could lose money two ways. You lose it, you spend it, or you gamble it or invest it in something and it goes away. I didn't realize there's all these different ways. This again goes back to the knowledge thing. Okay, if I don't have this knowledge, I don't have the awareness level to say, okay, where am I losing money right now? Okay, where am I not capitalizing on opportunity costs? Where am I not preventing, you know, low income, low savings rate? And that's what my company helps people do really quick. I want to answer some questions again. Good. It looks like Andrew connected with Nano. Awesome. Great. So again, guys, check your chat. If you received a message from Rod or from Nano, make sure you check your chat. You know, they want to connect with you for a free call and just answer your questions. If you have not gotten a copy of the book, I'm going to plug this one more time, maybe two more times, but for sure this time. So this is going to be jerryfeta.com/B2F promo. And you're going to get a free copy of the book. You're going to get a free course supervisor to help you get through the book and a free coaching call to implement what you've learned. Right. So go to that site, grab the book, set up a coaching call with Nano, answer Rod, answer Nano in your chat, get that scheduled and going. And I want to make sure before we wrap up here that we do have all of our questions answered. So let me just check the chat one more time. Caleb mentioned Wealth Dynamics University. We do have an online university. It's an online financial education platform. And so that's a place where you can go get this kind of education, right? It doesn't have to be once a week on a webinar. Like, I'm glad that you guys made it. I'm glad that you're here. The fact is talking for 45 minutes on a webinar, you're going to learn this much. That's why the book's so important, is you can take the information with you. You can learn all of it. You can learn it in the right sequence. I didn't even give it to you in a certain sequence today. It was like, here's the topic. There's things that are maybe before some of the things we talked about that you should know about. There's things that maybe come directly after that enhance this if you know about them. And that again comes down to knowledge. So get the book, schedule the call. You know, we do have our online training program as well if you want to really dive deep into things. But it looks like that's all of our questions here on Zoom. Let me check Facebook really quick. All right, I don't see anything on Facebook. Let's see here. So we had a question come in from Jason. Why do you try to charge for the ebook? So we don't try to charge for the ebook, Jason. We do charge for the ebook. And the reason why is that's value. So we believe that when you exchange value with someone for something, you should get value back. So we're charging minimally because we're giving you a free course supervisor. We're giving you free coaching calls. That was my time and energy to go into creating that content so that you could read it. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And so when we work with clients, we expect them to exchange back with us. We're going to exchange back with them. That's a good relationship. It's win-win. Trying to get something without giving anything or trying to get something for free is not a good exchange. And those are not the clients we want. And so for us, that's a test. If someone's not willing to pay $4, $5, $6, $7, whatever it is for the ebook, probably not going to be a fit for us, right? If they're willing to invest in themselves, we know, okay, that person actually desires to learn and they're willing to put their wallet where their mouth is. Right. So I can tell, like, when I look at someone and I look at their life, I can tell where they're going to be by where they put the most amount of their time and where they put the most amount of their money. And if someone is not willing to put time and money into something, they're not going to be successful in that area. Right. So whether you get the ebook or not, totally up to you. If it's $4 more expensive than you want it, it's $4 more expensive than you want it. But the thing is what are you trying to accomplish? And if you accomplish that, does that give you more than $4 on an ebook? And if it does, that's where the exchange is at. So great example of this. We do tax planning, right? So we do tax planning for clients. We have a company called Tax Kraken. And so we help people reduce their taxes. We charge a pretty decent amount of money to do taxes because we help someone lower their taxes. And so an individual might look at that and say, that's more than my CPA charges. That's expensive. Why does it cost this much? Well, if we save you more than it costs, let's say I charge $10,000, which we don't really do that, but let's say I do $10,000 to help someone do their taxes. If I make them $10,001, it was free to them. See what I mean? The value. right? If I make them 15 and save taxes, they not only was it free, I paid them $5,000. Okay. So that's how we view things. So that's why we charge for the book. That's why we charge for our services. We will never be ashamed of that fact. And we want to make sure people are in exchange with us and we're in exchange with them as well. So without further ado, I probably will be wrapping up here. I don't see any other questions that have come in. And so what I want to do is I want to make sure that you guys connect with us for a call. I want to make sure that you are aware that we will be back again next Saturday, same time, different topic. We also have a call with Nano on Monday. It's called Money Monday, and he's reading a book called Liar's Poker. Okay, Liar's Poker is all about Wall Street. If you're investing in Wall Street right now, you need to know what goes on there. Okay, and so I want to make sure that you tune into that. That's going to be 4 p.m. Eastern time. Again, if you've not connected with Nano in your chat, go ahead and do so. I will be leaving the meeting room open. So I'm going to go ahead and sign out here. And then if you want to connect up, you can chat with Nano, you can chat with Rod, and then we can set up a call from there. Have a great weekend. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving and a good start to your holiday season. And I'll talk to you next time.